Let's do Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And come all you faithful. Mm-hmm. How about that one? Right. That's a good one to do anytime, actually. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, for the
praise the Lord. It looks like Elijah's not with me here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. This is the Father's house.
Yes, it
is. This is not the hog pen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's peace in the house. Joy in the house. Healing in the house.
Hallelujah.
Prosperity in the house. Salvation in the house.
Yes, it is.
Holiness in the house. Glory to God. Whatever's in the, if it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness
to
us. Thank you for healing our bodies and raising us up and delivering us with great deliverance. We thank you, God, for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer, that we might be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, we were in Acts chapter 19.
Yes, yes.
And we were in Ephesus. Paul was with us in Ephesus. We were with Paul in Ephesus. There was a great uproar.
Yes.
Because all the God worshipers, false deity worshipers, were upset about losing their livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
The coppersmiths and the silversmiths and all other kind of smiths were upset about what would happen if everybody became a Christian and nobody worshipped all these idols anymore, so they wouldn't be able to make idols and they wouldn't be able to make any money. It's all about money.
That's true, even now.
Yeah, it is. That's right. That's what it's all about. All right, so let's look at verse 27 there. And this is Acts 19:27. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, and that's really what it was all about, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with a hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So this is amazing. For about 2 hours, it seems like for about 2 hours this went on. All this, and for 2 hours, this chant went on, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." These people were crazy. These people were really crazy. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?"
Mm. Well. Oh, my.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, of course, we know this wasn't true. This is not what the author said. This is what the speaker said. Remember, I told you about that before. You got to watch out who's speaking. The speaker in the Bible, the Bible quotes a lot of speakers. Mm-hmm. Some of them know what they're talking about, and some of them don't.
Right.
So you got to be careful, just to, you know.
The Bible says.
Yeah, the Bible says this, that the image of Diana fell down from Jupiter. No, the Bible don't say that.
No, it don't.
It don't say that. The Bible says that this gentleman said that, but it doesn't vouch for anything that he said. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them implead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Well, here again, he's right about one thing, that with an uproar like this, with the whole city coming together and making an uproar and chanting and going on and on the whole city for 2 hours, could have called the attention of Roman officials.
Yeah.
And the Romans could have gotten all excited about it and thought that there is maybe going to be an uprising of some sort. As a matter of fact, there were times that it did happen a time or two that the Romans mistook celebratory revelation, revelatory activity for an uprising, and they descended upon the crowd and killed lots of people. And so it was a thing that you had to be careful in those days. Not to incite the Roman army and the Roman officials, they might come down on you. Mm-hmm. So this guy was, at least he had sense enough to get these people to shut up and go home. And after the uproar, now we're in chapter 20, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. So now who is us? That lets us know that there is somebody that's not mentioned here, and that person is the author. So who would that person be?
Luke.
That's correct. Us is Luke. Us is them and Luke. Luke is the author.
Yeah.
So if Luke didn't say it, it may not be true. So we got to be careful. Since Luke wrote the book of Acts, we got to be sure that it's Luke talking. So we got to watch out for this. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, which would have been what? Passover, right? After the Passover, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, and where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. So we learn a couple of things from that. Paul sometimes was long-winded. And Paul did occasionally put people to sleep.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah. That's...
So even Paul put him to sleep. But we also learned that it's dangerous to go to sleep. It's dangerous to go to sleep in church, especially when Paul is preaching. You need to be awake and listen to what he says.
Especially when you're sitting in a window.
Don't sit in a window.
Especially if you snore.
If you're gonna sleep, don't sit in a window. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. So he preached all night long. Raised somebody from the dead. Yeah, that is true. That did wake everybody up. That incident woke everybody up. It seems to have woke everybody up. Nobody felt like sleeping after that. That's true. Good point. And they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at this place, whatever that is. And I'm not even going to try that. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. And we'll start on chapter 21 here. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had... Yes?
Could I pause you right there?
All right.
Because this has been something that I've wondered about. Okay? Paul said, I'm bound in my spirit to go to Jerusalem. Back in the previous chapter.
Yeah, he said, where did he say that? How does he say that there?
Verse 18. And the spirit there, you can't tell whether it's the big S or the little S.
Yeah.
You know,
where is it? What verse is it?
Mine says, it's 22. It says, now I'm compelled 22. By the Excuse spirit, me. Big S.
I go, it's a little S in my Bible.
Yeah. So
I am bound in the spirit. Okay, yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
And then you come over to here, in this chapter, in verse 4, and there you've got disciples who said to Paul through the Spirit.
That's right.
Through not in this bound by the through the Spirit.
The with a big
that
S.
He should not go
with
Jerusalem.
A big S. That's right, exactly.
So it sounds to me, I'm not saying I got the full answer on this, but it sounds to me that in his own spirit he wanted to go to Jerusalem.
I agree with you.
And he
made
up his mind, by golly, I'm going to go to Jerusalem.
I agree.
And here he's being warned not to go. And all along the way, the Spirit tells him, if you go, this is going to happen. Don't go. But he wants to go anyway. Is that what you read? Or
that's the way that's what I get out of it.
Before that, he had said, I'm going. I'm ready. They told him what would happen. He said, I'm ready to die. I want to finish my course with joy. He was really into doing all that God had ordained him to do.
Well, we're just getting into the beginning of this. Let's go down a few more verses here because we're going to continue on with this theme. And I'm glad you brought that out. Let's pick up there at the 5th verse. When he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. The next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now we've heard of this Agabus before, that he was a notable prophet in the New Testament, that he prophesied about a famine that was coming, and it came to pass. So this guy came down from Judea. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they that of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, The will of the Lord be done. All right, so there it is. Paul was warned in no uncertain terms by a number of people, by no less than Agabus himself.
He demonstrated it.
That's right, absolutely. Oh, yeah. This was
Paul couldn't miss it. He demonstrated.
Yeah, this was an object lesson for sure. Now, you know, I mean, at the very least, now some people could say, and you know, like, you can read this a couple of ways. You can read this as saying the Lord told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. I don't want you to go to Jerusalem. Do not go to Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, you're disobedient. But Paul went anyway. You can read it that way. And some have read it that way. You can also read it, as I do, that Paul was saying, I mean, that the Lord was saying, Paul, you can go to Jerusalem if you want to, but be warned, this is what's going to happen if you go. So you make your choice. Now, that's the best we can do with it. Because he was warned in no uncertain terms what would happen to him at Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, that one place where you called attention to it here, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. I can't imagine in my own mind, I can't imagine Paul just saying, well, I know the Lord has said don't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I cannot believe that's the case. I don't believe that was the attitude. And we, you know, I believe Paul must have been an understanding among Paul and the people that, yes, I know these things are going to happen, and the Lord has already warned us so that when these things happen, you know that we all knew this going in. With our eyes open, we knew what was going to happen.
Amen.
And nothing has happened. Nothing has taken anybody by surprise. We knew what we were doing.
So he knew not to take John Mark. Well,
yeah, there you go.
It doesn't say they told him that God said not to go. It said they urged him.
No,
not to go.
Back up a couple. Back up to verse 4. Back up to verse 4, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem.
Well, mine just says they urged Paul not to go. So that's a different version.
Well,
that could have been.
That is, your version is different. That is true.
Well, the key thing is that they said it through the Spirit.
They said through the Spirit.
They gave him the warning.
Yeah, that's a little bit different than saying, I'm bound by my Spirit and I'm going to go. This is through the Spirit they said now, it. They wasn't.
I know.
Now, what it was.
It wasn't just their
that, that's thing. True. That's true, Ray. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. What it was, they wouldn't have gone if they knew that would have happened to them. And so they were trying to encourage Paul not to go. I wouldn't go, man, you know, because. They're waiting on you there. This is what's going to happen. They could, but Paul said, listen, I'm ready. I'm ready to even die for the Lord, you know.
Like the Spirit told them, too, if he goes up there, he's going to be in prison. So I believe the Spirit told them.
It was a warning.
Yeah.
What was going to happen. Yeah. So when he got there, he wasn't surprised. The Holy Spirit let us open to some things. That are going to happen. So when we get there, we're not really, really, really that surprised. And not all necessary that he doesn't want you to go. This is a good example. A lady in a wheelchair, she was crippled, but she could still drive. She had came from Georgia to visit me. And she was some doctor's appointment and some other stuff. So she brought a young lady with her. Well, Before I knew she had brought a young lady with, I had a dream that night that a young lady was, had just went off kind of mentally and was trying to attack her. And the lady was so vicious in the dream, I was gonna walk, I was walking away. And the Holy Spirit told me, go back there and bind that spirit. Because in my own flesh, I was afraid of that, the way she was behaving too. That was only in a dream. And man, the lady comes, she comes with this young lady. I meet them somewhere. And this lady cut up just like it was in the dream. And I was about to turn around in the dream, and then it caught me. I said, oh, I'm not supposed to run. I'm supposed to rebuke that spirit. Mm-hmm. And I went back around there, and I rebuked that spirit. Mm-hmm. I was prepared. I wouldn't have been prepared. Mm-hmm. And I imagine as Paul heard all this, he began to prepare his spirit more to meet the challenge.
Yeah.
I was warned that night, didn't make the connection because I didn't know she was going to bring anybody. But when I turned and walked away, getting ready to walk away, now this lady crippled, she can't do, she can't, you know. But I had turned to walk away, and it came back. I said, oh, I'm not supposed to walk away. This was in reality. Yeah. It wasn't a dream, it was in the reality. I remember, I'm not supposed to walk away. I'm supposed to go back and rebuke this spirit. And I did, and the lady came, and so I called her when I got home. I said, was the ride home okay? She said, yeah. So the lady ain't acting no more. She was just, you know. The thing was, she didn't know the lady was psychotic. She forgot to take her medication that morning.
Wow.
And I went, whoa. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for warning me, because I was about to turn and walk, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm...
Can I ask one?
Yes.
Going back to the Paul thing, can we take this as a sort of implying that there's more than one ideal plan for each individual?
Yeah, you have to conclude that. You absolutely have to conclude that. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can cut this, mm-hmm. is that there is a permissive will of God, okay? Mm-hmm. It was permissible. I don't believe it was the perfect will of God for Paul to go to Jerusalem. I don't believe it was. But it was permissible for him to do that if he was willing to suffer the consequences. That's the only way I can understand this. I don't believe, and I believe that if I had been Paul, I would have said, you know, I believe I can just skip this Pentecost. I'm going to be otherwise engaged. I don't believe I need to make this one, you know. But I, you know, Paul was absolutely. He was bound, determined to go no matter what. But you're right. I think you have to conclude that, you know, he wasn't disobedient to God by going there. But it may have been, you know, the Lord did use him even with all the things that happened to him. The Lord continued to use him and make him a blessing. But I have to wonder what would have happened if Paul would have said, all right, Lord, I don't believe I'll go. I'll go someplace else. What would have happened?
I believe the Lord knew Paul, and he knew that Paul was that kind of person. The Lord knows us. I mean,
well, I know.
It surprises him.
Well, I know the Lord knew Paul all right, but I'm not sure that. But like, you know, that doesn't answer your question. We can debate about this because we all have a little bit different understanding or a different feeling about this whole situation. But this is an instructive place, and it's one of those places in the Book of Acts where we really can.